As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So I'm late. I promised you guys that we were going to have a Wizards After Dark right after the draft, or in the worst case scenario, the next morning, and it is 3:18 p.m. right now on Thursday, the day after the draft, and I'm recording this thing right now. But I promise we have a good excuse. You are, fortunately, this is the first podcast in the history of humanity that's recorded not by humans, but by actual zombies, because that's what we are right now. And the zombie I have on the other end of the Skype line, who cannot be held accountable for anything that he says in this state that he is in, like is Ben Standig, who is already grumpy. And I imagine is going to turn into an actual curmudgeon during this recording.
My natural state is not far from grumpy, and yes, it is feeling a bit sleep deprived, running around, doing my day job covering the Washington football team, my own podcast, and here we are because, has the league, I actually don't even know, has the league finalized the Cassius Winston trade? Because that's the reason why Tommy Shepard couldn't talk until literally like at 2:30 in the morning?
Yes, so they did finalize it. We'll talk about that briefly. We have more newsworthy things to talk about in a second. But yeah, the reason why I didn't get you guys a podcast after the draft, like I was originally hoping on doing, is I lined up Ben to come on the podcast, and Ben so graciously accepted to do a late recording with me, which I figured would be sometime around 12:30 or so. The draft would end at 12. Maybe Tommy Shepard takes a little bit to do his press conference. He talks for 10 minutes. Then we're good to go and record right after, and then I'll write and stay up late writing like I always end up doing in those situations anyway. And then what ends up happening is Tommy can't comment on a trade if it hasn't legally been approved by the league yet. Otherwise, that's tampering. An executive can't talk about a player who's not in his team. So they were sitting there waiting for the league to approve the trade the Wizards made, where they traded the 37th pick for the 53rd pick, or what ended up being the 37th pick and Admiral Schofield for the 53rd pick and a 2024 first rounder, which is coming from Memphis, or a second rounder, I should say, which is coming from Memphis. I'm actually not sure of the protections on that one right now. It's okay. I don't think that'll ruin the podcast. And the league kept telling the Wizards, trade will be approved soon. It'll be approved soon. And the Wizards were keeping us informed for timing of the press conference. And it just got to 2:30, and the league said, you know what? It's late. We'll approve it at noon tomorrow. And we did the press conference and didn't talk about him anyway. So there were some troopers last night. We were all staying until 2:30, and Ben was just like, I am out. I am not podcasting with you right now. And I was like, me too. We will do this thing tomorrow. So we got the podcast now. We got news. Like we got real things to talk about. We're going to talk Avdija, and we're obviously going to talk about the Wall Westbrook stuff that Shams reported a couple of days ago, which I haven't talked about in the podcast yet. And I did write a story about. It's up on The Athletic DC, along with an Avdija story of how the Wizards discovered him and Sam Vecenie analysis on him and his fit with the Wizards and just a bunch of other stuff. You know, I still have an offseason preview that's up right now, which is very comprehensive. And obviously there's a lot of draft stuff, but a lot of free agency stuff too. And free agency starts tomorrow. Ben, Let's go with Avdija first. Reactions. Wizards took him at 9 for those who are somehow listening to a niche Wizards podcast but don't know who they drafted. I don't think there's any overlap there. Ben.
Well, for what it's worth, I didn't know that they traded Admiral Schofield till you just said that, because like I said, I didn't know that the trade went through. So that's not the big news, but I was like, oh, wait, what? That was new to me. But that's not the story of the day. Yeah. I've said before on my own podcast and probably here before that this was not a year for me where I was really like deep diving into the NBA draft. I didn't watch as much college basketball per normal. There was no NCAA tournament. The draft is overlapping with me covering the NFL team. And so I tried over the last few days to get a sense of what was happening. And, you know, you had the first three picks in the draft. We didn't know the order, right? You had Edwards, you had Wiseman, and you had LaMelo Ball. And then it felt like every mock draft had Denny going fourth or fifth. So I didn't like think about him too much, but I was curious as a guy from Israel. You and I are bar mitzvah boys and all that. So I was sort of curious. And when I started to talk to people around the league about it, I kept finding people were saying, yeah, 4 or 5 seems rich. Like to me, he would be out, on my personal big board, like maybe closer to where the Wizards are, maybe outside the top 10. So I started thinking about it more, and it made sense. Like Tommy Shepard is known to really scout the international game. This kid, he's skilled. He can pass. I love front court passers. Always a plus for me. And it kind of made sense that it could happen. The matter was just, would he fall? He did. They took him. And, as I think you pointed out, they didn't go with some obvious screaming need. They took a guy who, they already have Hachimura, and presumably they'll keep Davis Bertans. So they have forwards. If you want to include Troy Brown in that, okay. So now they have another guy. And, I think his skill set is interesting. That shot's definitely got to get better. You can't shoot less than 60% from the free throw line if you're not Shaq. so that part's a bit concerning, but we'll see how that unfolds. So I think it's an intriguing pick. I don't think anybody they'd taken at that spot, I'd have been like, wow, what a home run, because this draft is so much about the future with almost every single player in it. There's not a lot of guys except for a second round pick like they had like in Cassius Winston, a guy who played college 4 years. And could probably come in and help to some degree right off the bat. But yeah, I think this is a really interesting pick. And, that shot's got to improve. I think that's one thing I always think we see guys over the years improve with that. So I'd rather have a guy who has great instincts and has to work on the shot than the other way around. The other way around doesn't work. So I'll take the wonky shot to fix, but that's the thing that's got to get fixed. And then we'll see how he fits in.
Yeah, so I don't really have my own personal opinions on him yet. Like I looked into more people. I know the Wizards didn't expect them to fall. They were thrilled. Scott Brooks was giddy. So was Tommy Shepard. I mean, they were thrilled that he fell to them. They had him. I think they had him really high on their draft board. I can't pinpoint a number for you, but it was high. They didn't have him at 9. It's not like they had him at 7. Like I can't pinpoint a number, but they had him high. And I think they were really excited, and I didn't have him there because I just didn't expect him to fall that far. I thought he'd be gone by the time we got to 9. I just did not think he'd be there at all. Once he came to them, they were just like, yeah, I mean, this is the guy. It was very clear, at least to me, that, they outwardly said it, but just by their reactions and based on where he was on their board, I mean, I do believe that they considered it. Tommy Shepard called it a no-brainer in his press conference. I do believe that they considered it a no-brainer. I don't think there was very much hesitation on the pick at all. And, I don't have my own really personal opinions on him. I know what he is. I know what people says he is. I know what people say he can be, and the weaknesses of the shot and the strengths, the fact that like there are people who see defensive upside with him, some switchiness. Obviously the number one strength is the fact that somebody that big can be a facilitator and ball handler to the degree that he seems like he might be able to be. And he has these flashes where it's like, I was talking to somebody today where they're like, he's got flashes where you're like, whoa, that looked like a dude who's like a primary facilitator who is running an offense. That was just gorgeous from a teenager to be able to make a play like that with the way that he handles and He's a wonderful passer. That being said, I just haven't seen enough to really develop those strong takes of fit and those kinds of nuances. I promise I will be doing a lot of watching over the next week or so between trying to report on and write about free agency and the rest of the roster building and the season starting in like less than 2 weeks until the scheduled start of training camp right now, which is just bonkers. The fact that we're starting when they're going to be, you know, 200,000 new cases a day is its own thing. I mean, that's insanity that is lining up that way. But even so, like, this offseason is so scrunched. And there is so much other stuff coming. You know how I said I was going to lose my mind on this podcast, how my brain was fried from being up till 5 a.m. every single night for the last 12 weeks? This is what's happening right now, Ben. I'm just rambling. This is...
Well.
Should we have this edited out?
No. This is the good stuff.
Let me finish. I remember what I was going to say. I was going to say, but I do have people. I don't have my own opinions, but I do have people whose opinions that I trust. And I spoke to a lot of talent evaluators, like a number of talent evaluators, either spoke on the phone with a couple and texted with a number more. And just like, what are your thoughts? What do you think? I'd be at 9. The range of answers that I got were something that Mike Schmitz said on the ESPN broadcast, steal the draft. That is an unbelievable value pick. I think he's going to be one of the 3 or 4 best players from this draft, and they got him at 9. What an unbelievable pick. That's my favorite pick of the draft. That was one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum was no one was knocking it. The other end of the spectrum was, yeah, I don't really love him. I'm lower on him than the average person, probably. I didn't really love him going into the draft. But that was really when I was thinking he was going to be a top 5 pick. And at 9, like, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. That's fine. So when the people who are, you know, the lowest on it are like, that's a perfectly fine pick at 9. And the people who are the highest are loving it. Like, that's a good range. No one's going to universally love a number 9 pick. That's not how it works. I mean, otherwise he wouldn't be a number 9 pick. So I thought that was encouraging. I think it's going to come down to his jump shot, honestly. Like, that's what I think it is.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, just in listening to you sort of ramble there and talk about
12 like, different topics that are totally irrelevant to what we're talking about now.
But like, no, but you mentioned the season, and I think this is, you know, important, right? I mean, for what is he, 19?
Yeah.
I mean, all these guys are 12 years old, right? Okay, so he's young, so there's that. Now he's coming from another country here, so there's an adjustment that's going to happen there. He's going to have literally no time to make that adjustment. He's going to have to come over and really assimilate immediately with people he doesn't know in a country he doesn't know, in a league he doesn't know. The step up from Israel, from the EuroLeague is notable. You know, he doesn't get summer league. And, you know, the Wizards are like all these teams, like they're going to, you know, hey, they need to get going. They need to get off to a fast start. They need to, you know, there's a lot going on here. Obviously, John Wall coming back from his injury, you know, top of the list of things that are going to be different. And how is this kid going to get acclimated? So I'm not trying to like set the bar low, but I do think on some level, you know, probably with a lot of these rookies, but this one maybe in particular, it's really going to be fascinating to see how well he can acclimate immediately. And, you know, look, Scott Brooks also has a history of not really leaning into the young players that much. So I don't know how much he's actually going to be a factor this season, but his development obviously is going to be, you know, something to watch. And, you know, to the point of the range of opinions. I mean, I didn't talk to tons of people, but I talked to a few, and yeah, I definitely had a lot of, yeah, I don't know that I like him as much as others, but like you said, that may have been a function of him being picked or projected in the top 4 or 5. One thing I heard was, you know, he is, because he played professionally for multiple years, he has more of a baseline than a lot of these other players. You know, James Wiseman played a small handful of games at Memphis and LaMelo Ball didn't play a ton over in Australia and so on and so on. So at least people saw this kid play. He does have some things, you know, you can't, I always believe the instincts, you cannot teach that stuff. That the great passing is not something you can really learn. You have it kind of, or you don't. He's got the good stuff, but that shot, you know, if they're going to give him to David Adkins and say, go ahead, work on this, you know, how quickly can that even happen when you don't have a lot of time? So it'll be interesting to see how this works in the short term, but definitely a long term play. You gotta have to, does everybody have patience? Is kind of what I'm trying to say, one way or the other, with this kid.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Wizards went into the draft, didn't even go into the draft. Tommy Shepard said in a Reddit AMA 8.5 months ago or whatever, this is such a 2020 way to do media, right? Like, I'm reporting off of what the GM said in a Reddit AMA. Tommy Shepard said in a Reddit AMA like 8.5 months ago that the Wizards draft philosophy was to, they were going to select the best available player. They weren't going to draft based off a need. And that is definitely what they did. They didn't draft off a need. They had a guy who was number one on their board. They believed him to be the best available player. And that is exactly what they took. You know, there were, DA asked, David Aldridge asked a couple of questions last night to Brooks and to Shepard about his kind of skill set redundancies with Rui. I'm interested to look into that concept more, because if he's really a playmaker, that changes things a little bit. Now you need him to learn how to shoot the three too. You need that if he and Rui are going to be part of your future, because I don't know if you can have a non-shooting four, a non-shooting three. Well, I shouldn't say I don't know if you can have. You can't have a non-shooting four, a non-shooting three, and if John Wall is just going to shoot the exact same way he always has from three, that's not going to suffice in the modern game. It's going to be too easy to guard, so you got to find ways to do that. Now, when we talk about redundancies with Rui and him, I don't mean that positionally. It's, as they say, a positionless league, but you still need complementary skill sets out there, and if everybody has the same strengths and everybody has the same weaknesses, then that's when a team has glaring holes. That's you know, when people talk about the team that plays cohesively, my strengths fill in for your weaknesses, and that's what it is. Advia is going to have to fill in. He's going to have to fill in some of those things. We're going to need to see him play more in order to figure out what the holes are going to be. But it's intriguing, and some people love the pick. I mean, look, I think it's plausible he starts at the three at some point this year, right? Like, it's got to be plausible. They don't have any threes right now. And I would be the least shocked person in the world if they signed a three when free agency starts on Friday or sometime after that. I mean, that wouldn't be surprising at all. But Bonga is their only three. And so if they go into camp and they don't bring in another, when I say three, I'm really just talking about like a true wing. If they don't bring in another like true wing, because Bradley Beal's a combo guard and Troy Brown's a combo guard and John Wall's a point guard and Rui is a four and Bertans is a 4-5 and Thomas Bryant and Mo Wagner are definitive fives, and if you don't bring in another wing, like, he really does have a chance to get a legitimate amount of minutes at that position. So I could see him. I mean, The Wizards did give time to young players last year. Like, I could see him getting time, although it's extremely possible that they end up signing a wing in free agency. And you know, my take on this adjusts depending on what they do in free agency.
But by the way, can I just say this? I was just looking at Twitter really quick, and this is where we're at now. When you draft a kid from Israel, Glenn Kantor, the radio analyst for the Wizards broadcast, he tweeted out a podcast he went on with somebody over in Israel. It's called the Sports Rabbi Podcast.
I know the Sports Rabbi Podcast.
Well, there you go. So this is where we're at here.
You know, we're like, what? We're recording this at 3:00. They drafted him at like 10:00 last night. So we're about 17 or 18 hours into the Denny Avia era. And were you on not his press conference this afternoon, his press conference last night that he did right after the draft? So he did a press conference during the draft, like virtually, obviously, did a press conference during the draft. And, you know, he is the highest drafted Israeli ever. And he's got to be the highest drafted Jewish player, like, in the modern era, right? I mean, there were Jewish players in like the 40s and 50s who maybe were drafted higher, but I can't think of a Jewish player who would have been drafted in the top 10. Like, we would know about that, right? Two Jews doing a podcast. Like, we would totally know that. That's what this podcast would be called, by the way.
Right. I mean, I think my dad used to always talk about Dolph Schayes, and I don't know where he was picked, or I don't even know if there was a draft.
But that's in the 50s. I mean, when's he drafted? 1948 or something. Right.
Jordan Farmar was late first. I'm with you. He may have been. Look, I'm excited, and I talked about this on my podcast when I was recapping the day in the Washington football team with somebody. Then we also jumped into this. Look, the Ted Leonsis, he's taken over the world. Last year was Japan. Now he's getting Israel. They already have Latvia. They're going.
They
for
got
it,
two
you know?
German players.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I don't know what we'll have to look at the draft next year, not from what college somebody goes to, but what country somebody's from.
Yeah,
they got to keep going.
Well, number one, that's on brand for Tommy Shepard, and something that I wrote about for this morning at the Athletic DC. And if you are not an Athletic subscriber, as I always say, you can sign up at a discounted rate at theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark. You can sign up again, discounted rate, and that gets you a full access subscription to The Athletic, not just my work and Ben's work, not just The Athletic DC, but everything. You get every single sport, every single team, all that. You get your full subscription at theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark, and you get that for a discounted price if you sign up over there.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
But my story that I have up there is how many resources. It's not just that Tommy Shepard likes international scouting. It's that they have poured resources into international and pro personnel scouting since Tommy Shepard took over. Last year when they did the draft, Tommy was an interim and they didn't have those resources. They hadn't configured their front office yet in the way that it's configured. People talk about Sashi Brown coming in and Daniel Medina coming in and that structure where Brown runs the kind of administrative operational stuff and Medina runs medical and Shepard runs basketball ops, and they're all on an equal plane in the hierarchy. None reports to the other. People talk about that as like the big change, and Ted Leonsis called that structuring the way of the new NBA when he made that hire. But that to me was only part of it. John Thompson got big flair when they brought him in. But they also did something about a month later where they split their scouting department in two. And they did form a pro personnel scouting department. They hired a guy named Johnny Rogers from the Clippers, and who also used to work for the Thunder, who is tremendously well respected in international scouting. When they hired him, the thing I got from him was they know everyone. And Tommy Shepard's big thing, like one of his biggest strengths as a general manager, I think, is that he also knows everyone. Everyone knows Tommy in the basketball world. I mean, I don't think I've ever met a basketball person who's like, yeah, I've never met Tommy Shepard. Tommy has had a conversation with every single person, and every single person has his number, and he's accessible and reachable. And I think Tommy has tried to implement that philosophy into the way they scout, and he's gotten people who are like-minded in that sense. I was talking to somebody, I don't want to say the name of the scout, but about another one of their scouts who does a lot of international work for them. And the first thing the person said, I asked him, what do you think of him as a scout? And he said, well, he just knows everybody. Like, he knows every single person in the world. I'm like, yep, that sounds like the Wizards' philosophy. So just having these connections and getting all of these these bits of intel. People think of scouting as just, okay, look at that guy and here he needs to work on his jump shot. So I don't like him as much, or he's a great passer, so I really like him. And people think of that as scouting, but the connections, being able to know people, being able to get intel and background and all these things on these people, that's very important. And I think they've implemented that. By the way, I cut myself off in the middle of my point, which, as I said, I was going to say the greatest moment of the last 24 hours is when Denny was on his press conference after the draft and some reporter asked or just prefaced her question by telling him that it was her bat mitzvah anniversary, which isn't a thing anyone celebrates, by the way, but just said it's the anniversary of my bat mitzvah. And I was like, that's where we're going with this. That's are people just going to announce what they're doing for Sukkot every single time they ask him a question.
Right. For what it's worth, my bar mitzvah anniversary is a week from today.
Intentional dead air on that one.
Oh, no. So you know what? I actually had a mute. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I had a mute error. I was saying that, ironically enough, my bar mitzvah.
Oh, no. I heard you. You heard me. And you said dead air because giving you dead air because
my bad. I get
because
it.
Such content. Yeah, such content deserves dead air. We got anything else on IVA? Because we do have a little bit of a heart out in about 10 minutes and both of our brains have fallen apart here. And I want to talk about Wall. You want to get into Wall stuff?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, I need to watch more tape. He's interesting. We'll see what we'll go from there.
Yeah. By the way, if you're thinking, oh, no, free agency starts on Friday and they're recording this and really not talking about free agency at all, I did a big off-season preview podcast, which you can check out. It's the episode before this one. Just go on whatever podcast app you listen to this on, just go to the previous episode and you'll see I did a big episode. I spoke to Jonathan Wasserman about the draft. Obviously, you don't have to listen to that part. You can skip ahead to the free agency section, which I did with Danny LaRue, my colleague over at The Athletic, who specializes in salary cap stuff, and that's really what his expertise is in. So he was perfect to have on for an off-season preview. And we talked about that. I had Danny on second. So we talked it. I want to say, you know what? It's in the description of the episode. You'll see it there. It's like the 37-minute marker. If you haven't listened to that yet, you can, you know, it doesn't matter that the draft happened. Everything we talked about in there is just as relevant today as it was then. But I will add, we have a new thing to talk about because it's Thursday right now. And 2 days ago, Shams Charania shook up all of our timelines by saying that the Wizards and Rockets have discussed a John Wall for Russell Westbrook swap. Just have discussed, and that there's no traction yet. That the Rockets wanted more assets, I think was how he phrased it, more assets. I have no update on that report beyond what he said. But let's talk about this, because I wrote something about it also up on The Athletic DC that night about how we all called John's contract untradeable, and that's the word that got thrown around, and everyone called Chris Paul's contract untradeable, and everybody called Bismack Biyombo's contract untradeable, and everybody called Russell Westbrook's contract untradeable, and all those guys got traded, and Russ might get traded twice. What is your reaction to that report?
Well, I guess there's a lot of ways to do it. First of all, you know, what does a conversation mean, right? Is it just as the way Tommy Shepard sort of phrased it pre-draft that, hey, you talk to everybody around the league about everybody and it's not that big of a deal. And, you know, some team calls you up and says, hey, what do you think about this guy? And you say, oh, he's great. We're not, you know, not looking to trade him. Does that mean you just talked about a trade, so to speak? Or what does that mean? That said, look, if you're the Wizards, I think Tommy Shepard tacking towards Bradley Beal as the focal point of this team is the accurate approach. And if that means on some level that it's a sign that maybe that John Wall's fallen out of favor somewhat because of what's happened in the offseason, you know, the two videos, essentially the one video where he's at a party and the gang signs or whatever. And then the second thing, which to me was kind of crazy, the whole playing spades during a live television interview. If these things on top of the injury concerns or whatever has led them to at least being more open to possibly seeing what's out there for him, I don't blame them in the least. And, you know, there's only so many places they can go. Trading him for a guy like Westbrook would be an upgrade just based on we don't know where John Wall's health is and his physical ability is. But it obviously would be a massive shakeup for the organization because he's the guy you have built around for the last decade. And, you know, it's fascinating. I don't have a clue what they would have to give up to make this work. I had somebody in the league tell me that Houston would be crazy to even consider this unless the return beyond Wall is substantial. And if I'm the Washington, I don't really know that I would do that. It might be one thing for John Wall to accept the fact that Bradley Beal is sort of the lead and play that way. Russell Westbrook's not doing that. He's not accepting anything like that. So that aspect I think would be somewhat challenging if you really are trying to build around Beal. But I guess probably the biggest thing, even if nothing comes of this, there's no trade. There wasn't even that much. It wasn't even that serious. One of John Wall's flaws, I guess, is his ego, and that it can get bruised easily just based on how you hear him talk about disrespect throughout the years in various ways, Olympic teams, contracts, whatever. And how does he handle this hearing that possibly he was discussed in a trade if he stays? How does that go over? I think that to me is maybe the most interesting question. It's worth noting, I don't know if you were going to say this, but and maybe I missed this if I did tell me, but at least as of last night, neither John Wall nor Bradley Beal had said anything on Twitter about Washington's first round pick. And, you know, that's kind of unusual in this era where all these guys say, hey, welcome to D.C. or whatever. So I think that to me is the most interesting part, not even so much about the trade itself, because I still don't know how that could happen. But what this does for John Wall, his mentality and this relationship with the organization, I think is really fascinating.
Yeah. Isn't that weird that they haven't said anything? And by the way, we've had two availabilities with Denny, and he said that he spoke to Brooks, he spoke to Shepard, and he did not say that he spoke to Beal and Wall. So kind of it is kind of odd. I'm with you. That's like a little bit of a why? That's kind of a weird thing. But also maybe we're bored and tired and home and alone and and overanalyzing everything on that specific front. I don't think you're overanalyzing the relationship part with Wall. That to me, like, let's say nothing ever happens from this. They had a discussion and that was it. I mean, the thing that I find the most interesting just on that front is Bradley Beal is openly a part of all of the Wizards personnel decisions, right? Like, he talks about that as being a very proud thing. And Tommy Shepard even said a couple of days ago that he goes to Brad and he goes to John and gets draft thoughts on them because both of them work very, very intimately with AAU basketball. So they have a lot of thoughts on these guys since they were, you know, young, since they were kids. And Brad was working with them or John was working with them because they both are so involved. And Brad has his own team. Like, they're so involved in the AAU scene. And I'm not saying that this, like, I don't know that this happened, but if there were a John Wall trade, you can bet that they'd ask Brad if he would do a John Wall trade. Like, of course. So that to me is like, I wonder what the reaction is when that happens, you know? Like, I just wonder how that entire situation gets handled. It's just kind of, I guess, awkward is the best way to put it. Like, I would feel awkward about it if I were on the inside, even if nothing ends up materializing. And I mostly agree with your analysis of the basketball side of it for what it's worth. Like, I think if I were Houston, I would be asking for the pick as well. Like, I don't have a problem with them asking for a pick on the side or you know, whatever. Like, if it's Wall for Westbrook straight up, I mean, I think Wall's worst case scenario is worse than Westbrook's worst case scenario. But that being said, Houston's also just not in a position of leverage. Westbrook has asked out, is not happy, and everybody knows it. and is on the exact same contract as Wall. He's like $300,000 less over the next 3 years. Whoop-de-doo, $100,000 a year when we're talking about $133 million. That's nothing. They both round up to $133 million, both contracts, over the next 3 years. There's no money difference. And so maybe it's more even in terms of like negotiations than I think, but I feel like Houston wouldn't want to do it unless they get a pick or a young guy. And if I'm the Wizards, I mean, Tommy Shepard has talked about and he said to me in an interview I did with him last week, and I wrote it, and I believe I said it on my last podcast, which was don't judge. He said, judge me by my actions. And his actions do say future looking, even who they drafted. Even the Avdija pick, right? That is a future looking pick. That's not, hey, we need a rim protector. We gotta just take the best rim protector available. That's not that. That's not at all what they did. They took the best player available. They drafted in a future looking way. So judge by his actions. A fair request as any. That is what I'll do. His actions say future looking. I don't think it's very future looking. You know, if Westbrook had one less year on his contract or something like that, Westbrook has 2 years left, Wall has 1 year left, then it's different. Then you're freeing up space. You know, then you give up you have to give up something because you're talking about a difference of $47 million. That's how much that player option in the last year of each of their deals is. So that's a massive difference. You're going to have to give up something to make up that difference in salary and the financial flexibility that comes with it. But that's not the case. They both have 3 years left. I don't think the Wizards would want my guess, just knowing not necessarily the inside information of what they're discussing, but more just knowing what their philosophies are, what Shepard says, how they like to conduct themselves. They wouldn't want to give up a pick, you know? They wouldn't want to give up a future pick in a trade like that. So I think the discussions happened. I don't know how serious they were, and I don't know if it's going to turn into anything, but, you know, two guys get talked about being swapped for each other. Man, we're still talking about the fact that the Yankees and Red Sox 70 or 80, like 80 years ago, almost flipped Joe DiMaggio for Ted Williams. Two guys almost get traded for each other or just get talked about getting traded for each other. That is interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, and it's not just any trade. It's, you know, it's not just trading John Wall for something. It's for Russell Westbrook, a very, you know, obviously an incredibly talented player and a very polarizing player. And, you know, even if everybody's cool with it, you know, you have no idea how that's going to unfold, or maybe you do and you don't think it's going to unfold the good way. But there's a lot going on there. And, you know, I think, you know, to the broader picture of things changing with this organization, you talked about Tommy Shepard beefing up the scouting department. You know, we talked about Tommy Shepard has done some different things with how he assembled the roster last year. You know, he made some of these moves, you know, where he took on somebody's salary to get some picks or took, you know, whatever it was. This is another example of that, right? Even the idea of possibly, if they did, really entertaining the idea of trading Wall is a sign of, hey, we can't just allow people to behave. Everybody has to be on the table to some degree. We can't just have, if we want to make changes, we have to have everybody be accountable. And, you know, if in fact Tommy Shepard, whether they made the trade or whether they made a real attempt to move him or not, and it's just now that it's out there, how does he handle this? I think that's going to be really fascinating to see from a leadership standpoint, that happening. And for what it's worth, you know, if Tommy Shepard's going to keep this job long term, these are the moments that probably on some level matter even more than the draft picks. The draft picks matter, but if you can't, you know, as we've seen over the years, you can bring in young players who are interesting. If you can't harness them, if you can't get them to follow the lead you want, then it's not going to work out as well. I have the same issue when I talk about the football team. You can have talent. You need to have guys who know what they're doing. And that comes from, a lot of it is organizational structure. So yeah, this is a very interesting moment to see what happened, what really took place, and how they come out of this.
Anything to plug before we wrap up?
You know, go follow me on Twitter at Ben Standig. Read me on The Athletic. My own podcast, Standig Room Only, is on iTunes and all those places. And yeah, that's, you know, send coffee. That's all I got.
All right. Follow Ben on Twitter. subscribe to Wizards After Dark. If you are not already subscribed, you can do that wherever you listen to podcasts. What else we got? You can leave a review. See, I say this at the end of every podcast, Ben, and I literally am not remembering it. You can leave a review of Wizards After Dark. They you know, they help. They help more than you would think that they help. You can leave a really nice review. You can give us 5 stars, too, and you can do all of that on iTunes. How about that? Leave a review. Tell your friends.
That's part of my standard intro. I figure I'm going to cut it off at some point since I've only had the pod like less than a month. I got to keep mentioning that now. But yeah, it's important. Apparently, these things matter to the world iTunes and who follows and how you find things. So yes,
Ben, I say this at the end of every episode, and I can't remember. And if you want to subscribe to The Athletic, you can get a full subscription, like I said, at theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark, and that's for a discounted price, guys. A discounted price for a full subscription to The Athletic at theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark. Free agency starts 6 p.m. on Friday. If the Wizards make a major move, I will do a podcast. I am not going to be stupid like I was last time and promise a podcast the night of and then not follow through on that promise. So I will say I promise I will try to do a podcast the night of. Otherwise, I'll do it the next day. I promise there will eventually be podcasts. We're not this week when it's all crazy and the season is less than 2 weeks away from happening and free agency's happening and the draft is happening and trades are happening. I am not doing only one podcast a week. I'm going to be doing more than that. So I will be back with something at some point and it'll be soon. And whenever that is, I promise I will have slept between now and then and I will talk to you guys then.